David says in the last verse of Psalm 51, then, once God has blessed his people in church, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So again, we need the blessing of God to be able to live so as to please God. And that's what David is asking for here. We said last time that in order to be able to offer sacrifices of righteousness, we ourselves must first be righteous. The offerer has to be righteous himself before his sacrifice can be a sacrifice of righteousness, before he can present that to God which God requires. And we saw there's none righteous by nature. We saw that none of us can do righteousness by our own power. As fallen, sinful creatures, we are unrighteous. The only way we can be accepted by God as righteous is through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so I must first turn from sin and come to Christ and put my trust in Him before I can please God. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. I have to be united to Jesus Christ by faith and be righteous in Him before I can do anything that God can accept as righteous. You remember, the Bible says we cannot make ourselves acceptable to God. He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in His Son. And anything outside of Christ is unacceptable. Only He meets God's standards. He is His Beloved Son in whom He is well pleased, and He cannot be pleased with me until I am in His Son. And without Christ, I cannot do anything that pleases God. Remember how Peter said, we are offering up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Remember, if Jesus never came, the whole human race is fallen and ruined by sin. And when God looks upon it, it is all rejected and never can make itself pleasing or accepted with Him. And so God sent Christ to die for us so that our sins could be removed and His righteousness is placed upon us when we believe, so that when I come to God in Christ, I am righteous, and what I do, He can accept. So a man's person must first be accepted with God through Christ by faith in Him before his worship and service can be accepted with God, because it can only be accepted through Christ. See, everything I do, even as a Christian, is imperfect. So what happens? I bring my worship to God, and the imperfections of my worship, Christ takes away by His sacrifice. They're imputed to Him, and then His righteousness and merit is charged to me so that it covers my imperfections, and God looks on me as perfect in Christ and can accept that which I bring to Him, my worship and service. Now we're going to look at how this is true from Genesis chapter 4. In our reading this morning, we saw Jacob and Esau. Jacob was a righteous man by faith. Esau was a profane man and a fornicator. Now we see Adam and Eve had two sons, their first two children, evidently, Cain and Abel. And this is how we can see by a personal example what we've been talking about. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Remember when God first made Adam and Eve and brought them together, He said, be fruitful and multiply. This is the first example of that taking place. But it took place after Adam and Eve had sinned and fallen. And so they produced sinful, fallen children. But Eve acknowledges that a child is God's gift. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Right? One was a shepherd, one was a farmer. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So Cain is doing an act of worship, bringing some of his crops to God. Doesn't tell us if he brought the first fruits, the first and best, but he brought some of that fruit that God had blessed him in a harvest with to the Lord to acknowledge God's blessing. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. So he's bringing the first and best of an animal, a lamb. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Notice the difference. They're both worshiping, both bringing offerings to God. One, God accepts. The other, he rejects. And notice, Cain responded to this in anger and envy. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? As if you do what's right, as I require it, you too would be accepted. In other words, there was something lacking, missing in his worship. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. In other words, sin is crouching and ready to seize upon you and take you into its power as a lion on its prey. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And what does Cain do? He goes out, gets Abel alone, talks friendly to him like a brother, only to set him up for his fall. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him, killed him. In other words, Cain, you can be accepted if you only do what's right. Nah, I'm not doing it your way. Why should Abel be accepted and not me? I'm mad at him, and he kills him. So what do we have here? Well, in this portion of the scriptures, we have two brothers, sons of Adam and Eve, bringing their offerings in worship to God. And what we're told is that the Lord had two different responses to their action. The Lord had respect. Notice how he says it. End of verse 4. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. All right, so first the Lord had respect to Abel himself and then to his offering. And what was his offering? It was he brought of the firstlings of his flock. In other words, his offering was a bloody sacrifice of a lamb. Right, then we're told in verse 5 that the Lord did not have respect to Cain. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. But notice what he says first. First he didn't respect Cain himself, and then he didn't respect his offering. What was his offering? It was a bloodless offering of the fruit of the ground. Or as the fruit of his labor he offered to God. So what do we see different here? Well, what Abel did was he acknowledged that he was a sinner and that he deserved to die for his sin. How do we know that? Because he brought an animal. And he was saying, I have sinned, I should die, but I am bringing and offering up this sinless sacrifice to die in my place so that his death will be accepted as mine and so that I will not have to die for my sin. Why was this important? Well, he was being obedient to God because he offered to him an animal. Why do we know that God required that? Because back when Adam and Eve first sinned in Genesis 3, in verse 21, it says, Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, what's required to get a coat of fur? The animal has to die. You can't take its fur without killing the animal. And so God said, All right, Adam and Eve, you covered yourself with these fig leaves. You think you can cover your sin and make yourself acceptable to me by your own efforts? No, no. God stripped those fig leaves off, just like he has to strip off us of all our good works and of our religion and of all the things we try to cover our sin with. And he says, I need to make a covering for you. Not a covering of your making, a covering of my making. An animal died, and then God covered them, which was a picture of Jesus Christ. We come to God with our own good works and our religion and say, you have to accept me. He says, no, no. He says, get rid of that. He strips us bare and naked, so we're guilty in our sins before him, nothing to cover ourselves. Then he says, my son died, and he will take that sin from you, and he will put his righteousness upon you, and you will be clothed so that your nakedness will be covered, and I will be able to look upon you and accept you in Christ's righteousness. He was the sinless sacrifice for us, which this lamb represented. See, what Cain did is he offered up a self-willed offering of his own devising rather than the offering that God required. And he did that because he was an unregenerate, impenitent man. He didn't feel his sin. He didn't feel his need for a sacrifice. He felt that God would accept his efforts and what he brought based on his own merit and his own work. And that was not at all right. In Jude chapter 1, isn't it interesting? Of course, Jude only has one chapter. Isn't it interesting? Proud, self-righteous, unregenerate, impenitent people are still religious people. They still go to church. They still go through all the ceremonies and rituals. And yet, their hearts are never broken and humbled before God to accept God's way. They try to do it their own way. And that's what Cain is an example of. And Jude is talking about false teachers, and he says this about them in verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. The way of Cain. And he pronounces a woe. You know, in other words, they're going to suffer judgment because of the way they're going. They're not going God's way. They're going their own way. Cain's way. What's the way of Cain? The way of Cain is the way of hypocrisy and self-effort and false religion. Instead of acknowledging our sin and need and throwing ourselves on God's mercy and accepting His sacrifice for us, we try to bring to God what we can do and tell God He has to accept that instead. That's what we saw in Malachi. If you remember our reading this morning, they had the same problem. Verse 12, you have profaned it. God, you have profaned God's name in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. In other words, they had nothing but a very bad attitude, even while they were in the process of worshiping. You said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. In other words, you tried to pass off these very inadequate and defective offerings on God and expect Him to be pleased with that. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So in other words, people are not sincere. They're false and deceptive and hypocritical when they do not bring that to God which He requires. Why did Cain do this? Why did he go his own way instead of the way that God would have him go? Because he was a child of the devil and a murderer whose own works were evil. Now notice what the Bible says about the wicked. We saw last time, who are the wicked? Every one of us, until we come to know the Lord, until He does a work of grace in our hearts and changes us. Here's the attitude of the wicked, no matter how religious they might be. Psalm 37, verse 32. Why do I say no matter how religious they may be? Who were the greatest enemies Christ had? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders. Who have done the worst kinds of persecution of Christians through the years of the history of the church? False religious people. they're the ones that hate and oppose God's people the most because of their pride and their self-righteousness. Psalm 37, verse 32 says, "The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him." They're looking to see an opportunity to put us to death. That's their attitude. Also, Proverbs and chapter 29 and verse 10, it says, The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. Hatred, of course, is in God's eyes as murder, and it's usually the origin of murder. And so bloodthirsty men hate God's people, and at times they show that hatred as Cain did by murdering them. In 1 John in chapter 3, we have this explained to us also. Verse 10, "In this the children of God are manifest, or are seen, and the children of the devil." How do you know the difference between a child of God and the child of the devil? "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." The Bible says, "He who does not love his Christian brother abides in death." And the wicked hate the righteous. They certainly are not of God. They're of the devil. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one." Notice, Cain was of the devil, and he slew his brother. "And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill Abel? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Now, God said, you can join your brother and do what's right as he did. What did Cain say? "No, if you won't take what I offer you, what I want to give, I'm not going to give you, God, what you want. I'm going to get mad at my brother and kill him because you accepted him. Because his works were righteous, where mine were evil." So here you have Cain, a religious man, and what is he? He's a child of the devil who hated his brother and murdered him. And no murderer, it goes on to say, has eternal life abiding in him. Now you see this all the time. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 11. It says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the bloods of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." They were offering the proper sacrifices, but what was wrong? They were not right with God. Verse 14, "Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear." Why? Your hands are full of blood. We can't come to God with hatred in our heart toward our brother and guilty of, you know, bringing harm to our brother, and then expect God to say, "All right, I'll take you as you are." Isaiah 61 and verse 8, he says there, "For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them." In other words, God says, I look for judgment for those to follow my will and my word in their attitudes and in their behaviors. I don't want you bringing that which you stole from others to me as your offering to me. Is that what we should bring God for our sacrifices? Stolen goods? Even in the world, if you take stolen goods, knowing they're stolen goods, and use them, you get arrested. God says, I don't want that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7. Verse 8. He says, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." Or as they would say things to encourage themselves in their wrongdoing, thinking that all they had to do was convince themselves, tell themselves this, and it was that's how it was. He says, you're only deceiving yourself. He says, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. I mean, do we think God is blind and deaf? He doesn't know how we're living? And then we come to church and put on a pious face and act like all is well. And you know, I love the Lord, and he's all that matters to me, and I'm bringing him my worship, and then go out and do everything to offend him? Steal, murder, and be immoral? Lie, cheat, commit adultery, and then come in here and say, Lord, I worship you? Well, wait a minute. Isn't God a forgiving God? Yeah, if we turn from these things and ask his mercy and pardon and for his grace to change us. But Cain did not do that. He was a proud and self-righteous man who trusted in his own religious works and continued in a state of unregeneracy and rebellion against God, and yet put on the outward form of worshiping God, the appearance of being a God-honoring man. And we see this kind of contradiction all the time. How many times you heard people are in church Sunday acting very pious, and then all during the week they're out there carousing and drinking and cheating and swearing and doing this and that, being dirty in their lives. And yet, why is that? It's always been the case. And it is the case still. And this is why God, who knows all things, says, I can't accept this. Amos chapter 4. Verse 4, it says, come to Bethel. This is God speaking. Come to Bethel and transgress. Bethel is where they worshiped. He says, come and sin. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. That was another place where they worshiped. He says, you're just adding sin to more sin. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. In other words, come on, just keep bringing it on. Just keep coming and bringing your offerings to me, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Of course, they were not to mix leaven in their worship. And he's saying your sacrifices are, again, defiled and less than what I require. And publish and proclaim the free offerings. In other words, they're talking up, you know, how much they're doing for God. For this liketh you, O children of Israel, saith the Lord God. All right, this is how you are. This is how you want to be. This is what pleases you. You think, why would people put on the appearance of being religious? Why would they go through the motions? Why would they bother to come to the worship and bring their offerings just to, so they can make themselves look like something they're not and then go on and keep sinning? Well, it's a case of hypocrisy. They're phony. They're claiming to be something they're not, and then they go out and live the way they want to live, which is a sinful life, and then go to church thinking this will appease my conscience and cover over my bad, and that'll make it okay. It doesn't, unless we repent. So that was Cain. How could God respect such a man and accept his worship and service? He couldn't. What about Abel? Well, Abel was a sinner too, just like we all are. But Abel was also a man of faith, one whom God had done a work of grace in his life. He understood that the sacrifice of a lamb prefigured the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus, on the cross for our sins. And that was what his faith was in. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Hebrews 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter on faith, and it gives many examples of those who had faith. It begins in verse 1 describing faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's taking God at his naked word, believing what he says, and expecting to see God do as he promised. verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Right? In other words, both of them offered offerings to God, but Abel's was more excellent than Cain's. Now, how is it more excellent? Well, we said it was an animal that was slain and its blood shed as an expression of his sin and need for God's forgiveness. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And only the blood of the Son of God can take our sins away, which is what that animal represented, Christ's death on the cross. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin, because the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Cain just offered up crops. Nothing that God said could atone for sin. But also, Abel offered unto God a sacrifice with a true desire to please God. Cain was just doing it to please himself, to do what he wanted to do, and expecting that God would have to say, all right, that's good enough, instead of obeying God and seeking to honor God. Abel was a man of faith, and again, without faith, he says in verse 6, it's impossible to please God. Cain offered without faith a wrong sacrifice. Abel offered with faith the proper sacrifice God required. And so, what came of that? By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. In other words, God, in his word, tells us that he accepted Abel in his offering. And again, how can God accept us unless we're righteous? Because God is a righteous God. We have to be righteous. And the only way we can be righteous is in Christ. The only way we can be in Christ is by faith. And it was faith that made Abel righteous and made his offering acceptable. And the fact that God accepted his sacrifice shows that he was a righteous man in offering it up through faith in God's Son. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. In other words, Abel gave his life. He died as a witness for God. Because of his love for God and obedience to God, he died at the hand of his brother, the first martyr in history. And why did he do that? Because he still today teaches us this lesson that we're having this morning. That's why I can stand up here and preach this. He is dead, but his life, as recorded in the scriptures and experienced, and what God did in response to his offering, and God's witness that he was righteous and that his gift was pleasing to God, still teaches us today that I need to do what Abel did if I'm going to be accepted with God, if I'm going to be pleasing to God, if he's going to accept my gifts to him. It has to be by faith in Jesus Christ, or it cannot be. So Abel was righteous by faith in Christ, and he did righteous works by his faith in obedience to God, and he offered up the proper sacrifice. We'll close with Isaiah 56, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 56, verse 6 and 7. God is speaking here to the eunuchs and the strangers, the foreigners, and encouraging them to come to him and give their lives to him and put their trust in him and worship and serve him, and he would bless them for it. He says in verse 6, also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord. Notice, it's not hypocrisy, it's sincerity. They truly love him and desire to please him and obey him, to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, as they will be numbered among my people, a part of my church, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. So God is not telling anyone, you're not welcome. He's not excluding anyone. He's opening his arms and welcoming us. He's saying, come to me. Put your trust in me. Join yourself to me by faith. serve me, love me, worship me, live for me, and I will accept all your offerings and your worship for the sake of my son Jesus. That's God's offer. We don't have to be like Cain, trying to get around Christ, do it our own way, and make God accept what we give him. We need to come God's way through Christ, who God only accepts, and only accepts us in him. If we believe in Jesus, I am righteous. And if I offer up my worship and service to God through faith in Christ, it will be a sacrifice of righteousness that will please him and that will be accepted by him. But only by faith in Jesus can that be possible. And so put your trust in him and you will be blessed. Let's close in prayer.